bowels of hell. It's a Guys, Games, and Beer podcast.
Hooray and stuff.
Okay, hey, we got beer court tonight. What do we got tonight, Travis?
What are we supposed to do?
We're doing beer court, Rob.
Da da da. Ba da ba ba.
So I found something by Three Floyds, and I heard much of their Three Floyds beer, and it was one I hadn't seen. This is the Space Station Middle Finger.
And they literally mean middle finger.
It is an American pale ale. From the dawn of time, humans have looked to the sky for answers. Space Station Middle Finger replies to all from its eternal orbit. Behold and enjoy this bright golden American pale ale. Three Floyds usually does really good beers, and it was one I hadn't tried before. So.
They also do cool artwork. All of their bottles have great
artwork. You look at a shelf and you know a Three Floyds beer, man. So I had to say props to that, and we'll decide to give it a try. So,
all right.
Ooh, he held it up. Top popper.
Oh, right here.
Space Station Middle Finger.
Somebody wasn't paying attention.
Hey, he's doing techie stuff over here.
Yeah, I did something.
Okay.
It's not my favorite Three Floyds beer.
Yeah, it's not my favorite Three Floyds either.
That's the thing, those Three Floyds just at the bar are very high. Like, this is like Yum Yum, but worse.
Yeah.
It's a Yum Yum is another one of their like little hoppier ales.
And here's the thing, it's just middle of the road. It's good, but there's nothing special about this one. If you want a good IPA, it's a good American pale ale, not an Indian pale ale. If you want a good American pale ale, it's a good, but is it anything I would run out of my way to get? Probably not.
It looks fucking cool when you're drinking it, though.
The bottle alone,
though.
Worth it for the bottle.
It's middle of the road, maybe that's why it's giving us the middle fingers, like,
fuck you.
Fuck you,
fuck you and your expectations. All right, trying to drink this while giving the middle finger.
Very nice. Travis, it's really easy.
All right.
I was thinking too hard.
All right, let's pass judgment on this, gentlemen. I think it's pretty easy to pass judgment on.
It's well done for what it is.
Yeah, no, and Three Floyds always
but
is okay.
Three Floyds has set the bar so high.
Yeah. Some of their beers are awesome.
Yeah, like,
so amazing.
It's stuff I don't normally drink, and it's usually done well enough that I'm like, I really enjoy this. Like, again.
Well, I'd thumbs up on it.
All right, well, so a 2-3 split on this one. It's almost split down the middle.
So it does get a pass.
It gets a pass. All right, Judge Rob, pass judgment on this beer.
All right, count one, indecent fingering in public. Yeah, you're guilty. Number two, being yet another damn pale ale. Guilty. I sentence you to
drinking.
Yay!
Alright, so Rob, why are we really here tonight?
Oh. Well, today with us we've got
James from MegaCat Studios.
And we're gonna be talking all things MegaCat. We're gonna be talking retro modern gaming.
Okay, so James, retro modern gaming or modern retro gaming?
It's really a great question. Tomato tomato.
Okay, we're good with that.
Well, they make games for older systems, the NES, Genesis. Did you guys do PC?
They're working on that.
Okay.
So this is these are new games for classic
systems. Yeah, yeah.
Which is near and dear to our heart because we are big collectors of that kind of stuff. All right.
You want to start with Logjammers?
Yeah, let's start with the latest offering.
Something else I wanted to actually just toss at you guys for agenda context is we just put 3 new games for sale last Friday, and I'm not sure which day Alex shot you an email, but that might be holiday relevant since.
Oh yeah, yeah. Listening.
So right, let's go with it.
Got it, Jeff.
Cool. So Creepy Brawlers is think of it as Mike Tyson's Punch Out with 2017 features, counterattacks, an achievement system, enemy evolutions. You know, totally all new graphics, all new game, all new patterns. But definitely has the same gameplay, I think, from a unique kind of creating a game for the NES perspective. If you get sprites that size, they had to all be background objects. So the artists and devs working on it did lots and lots of beating their faces against their keyboards.
Come on, Southern.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting developing for those older systems. On one hand, you know, you know now there's been a couple of decades of the system under its belt where you know its limitations, but it's still trying to kind of push it as far as it possibly can. Looking at like some of the graphical stuff you guys put on, especially on like some of those NES titles, it's really kind of seem to be kind of pushing its limits, which is pretty cool what you guys can do.
Yeah, you know, I think all the tools that were in kind of commercial application during that era had tons and tons of headway into them. So comparing them to like the enthusiast community tools that are out there definitely aren't like apples to apples. It's a whole different ballgame, but NES easily has the biggest homebrew community. It's, you know, also probably the most active and friendly. You know, they genuinely want to see each other put new games out for their favorite console.
Okay, gotta say, loving the cartridge on that Creepy Brawlers, by the way.
Yeah, that's another thing.
But that's something I've seen with all their
cartridges. All of their games,
all your games.
It seems to be a really cool, cohesive package. It's not just, you know, slapped into some, like, repro great cart. You guys really kind of took your time to make manuals and, you know, actually have this kind of nice individual display.
Nice boxing, nice cartridge design. I assume you guys are putting quite a bit, by the looks of it, you guys are putting a ton of time into that.
Yeah, so I think another one of the kind of unique differentiators is we've been doing contract dev as a company under a totally different name for a long time, unrelated to games. And we decided about a little more than a year ago, you know, we're all like in that 25 to 35 kind of range. And if we're going to take a chance and do something of our own, we better do it now instead of later. So we're pretty heavy in on this. It's not a group of projects or hobbyists. Like, we do this full time. There's about 20 of us full-time and another, you know, 20 or 30 in some kind of freelance recurring capacity. So we definitely put every inch of effort we can into it. Lots of attention to detail with the entire, like, new open box experience. You know, making sure we're playtesting the hell out of the game. I think hell's relevant with Creepy Brawlers, considering the monsters. And then, like, the art itself, we've started working on a lot of our own internal tools to streamline the process. But even with that, it's definitely... you know, working within the NES limitations is its own kind of exciting puzzle and seeing how far we can push it with space and speed to still keep, you know, 60 FPS, you know, reasonable cycles and make sure that it's compatible on any original or aftermarket NES hardware.
Gotcha. So are you guys doing all the art in-house?
Yeah. Well, we have a few guys that are regular recurring team members that are full-time that aren't in-house. So one of our first kind of team leads is Harry. He's in Scotland. So we're in Pittsburgh. Our lead designer, Andy, of course, is in-house. Frank is in-house. He's actually the animator that worked on Creepy Brawlers.
So what kind of like initially, like a lot of your games seem to be very cool stylistically. You have familiar elements from other games that people might have played on Nintendo, but what kind of made you guys decide, hey, we're going to kind of produce these titles for people to consume and kind of get together as a team?
Yeah, so I think like a lot of game companies, like the ideation kind of starter project phase is super fun and simple. It's probably pretty similar to how your podcast goes. A couple beers, everyone starts slapping each other, and they're like, oh my god, don't you love blah 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 game?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, since we have a, you know, 25 to 30 years, depending on who you talk to, of like first-person gaming experience, usually the ideas get flowing pretty quick. And then they break down once you start applying them into into NES specification. And our goal is to try to keep that threshold as high as possible so that the final product is something that you can enjoy, whether you're just a retro game enthusiast or you just like video games in general, or in this case, really hairy werewolves.
Yeah, I get it. Looking at the projects, I mean, you guys seem to put out a lot. Not the fact that I heard you guys just put out, you know, three titles just kind of around for the holiday season or whatever, the Halloween season. You can kind of tell that it's like a labor of love. It feels like there's a lot of really good detail to the games, the premise, and just like, again, the artwork is just fucking cool. Like, between your guys' logo, I'm just absolutely in love with. I have no idea how you guys came up with that. It just looks super boss.
And if I do a share screen, can I send you guys something? Or what's the easiest way for me to send you some context? Is sending a direct message?
Yeah, or else just email it, because we are on the mail
system. Okay, cool.
As well.
Yeah, so we don't have all the wonderful things that are in Creeping It Real up on the page. Right as we were putting that up for sale, we had to rush out for TwitchCon, which we just got back from.
Oh, gotcha.
But, you know, the Creeping It Real is the chiptune soundtrack that has, like, a fully playable pachinko game that goes with it. And much like the beer drinking concept, you know, we were kind of hanging out, and have you guys seen the Dancing Pumpkin Man?
Oh, yeah.
Dance moves?
Yeah.
So we did some pretty awesome collaborative work with him there. So I thought that the easiest way to really get people, like, engaged with the chiptune album is some sick pumpkin dance moves. So we actually were able to, like, work with the Dancing Pumpkin Man directly, license, like, his dancing awesomeness, and
that's pretty legit.
And then fit it into the NES spec. So I'll send you guys some, like, pretty sick looking previews while we're chatting about it, and when we're off, I'll make sure that you get all kinds of sweet pumpkin treats.
Yeah, like the pumpkin ale.
Oh, no! No pumpkin ale! I do like the fact that you kind of threw, like, a little, like, pachinko game in there, too, because, like, I appreciate, I have some of the other, like, NES kind of chiptune cards. Like, I'm a really big fan of Anamanaguchi. Okay. I've got their NES album they actually made. It's really cool. It's very close to kind of, like, the demo scene of, like, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Amiga style. But it's just, like, seeing what people can produce graphically and... I didn't realize that this was kind of like almost like a chiptune album with visuals. So that's pretty friggin' cool that exists. And you got Dancing Pumpkin Man, which that pushes over the top.
I have a lot of chiptune albums. Like, every time I see one come out that plays on hardware, I just like buy it as, like, second nature. I just love it, right? And we were able to collaborate with guys. You guys are probably familiar with Danimal Cannon.
Yeah, yeah.
So he did some feature tracks, and our chiptune guy has become, like, better and better, you know, month over month, and I just loved the tracks that he did for Creepin' It Real. So we thought that, you know, getting a little more life out of them and releasing them for people who just love Halloween, Nintendo, and sweet dance moves would be worthwhile.
So you guys produce the actual physical cartridges. Do you sell these in other forms?
Yeah, so right now we're selling them just on the physical cartridges, but we do have our own encrypted emulator that we'll be repackaging them and doing, like, a PC Steam release coming up.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
We're actually really just learning, like, our order of operations, because we're not doing a really short, simple game. We're doing very full-featured, long dev cycle games, and you can't really patch a cartridge very effectively. We've tried that. And it just means lots and lots of incredibly expensive shipping. So so right now, you know, our goal is to make sure that everything we put out, since we have a little bit of a backlog, that meets our quality standard, which is, you know, as high as we can get it, and focus on the physical iterations first. And once all the, you know, thriving kind of collector community gets their fill, then we're going to do the digital releases after.
Nice. So these will be available digital. So keep an eye open for that, people, because... Again, we will all buy the cartridges because we're all old-time hardware collectors. But
sick.
That's a whole other issue. But yeah, it's nice for people who don't have an old NES or Genesis playing around. It's nice that they have other ways to get access to this. These are really good games. I mean, they play well. They fucking look
cool.
Like, they really
like,
do.
They're eye catchers, man. Like, you walk by and somebody who's playing, you know, I was looking at the Justice Duel with the 4-player adapter they had the little sticker for, and, like, again, it's just like you walk past it and it kind of looks somewhat like Joust-esque, but it's got, like, ridiculous power-ups and other stuff like that. But yeah, it's just like these look like very unique games. I mean,
not a lot of games took advantage of that 4-player adapter back then.
Yeah, you know, so for Justice Duel, that's a great point. It's like less than 1% of the NES library uses the 4-score.
Yeah.
And I think if we were going to create like an ethos, like pact of like who we are, what we do, I think the couch co-op is probably like 1, 2, and 3.
Oh yeah.
Like, I just love like having the ability to physically assault a friend if I lose. The same kind of toxic air is also a really missed kind of passion of mine.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for like these like honor games. They try to experiment a little more with this old hardware can do. One of the things I pre-ordered, I'm still looking forward to getting, is that Super Russian Roulette. I've been looking for this for a while.
Oh yeah.
And like it's just like seeing people push old hardware to just do new and interesting stuff. It's just like it just feels like you're almost in an alternate timeline. It feels almost like you get that new nostalgia.
kind of going for you? Like, it's like, you feel like a kid again, because it's a new and exciting thing that you're just not used to playing.
Well, that's it, and on a system that you played when you were a kid.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it's like, oh crap, there's a new game. It's just like when you were a kid and got,
Oh,
I got a new game for my NES.
And it feels very different than buying a new game for your Xbox. Buying a new game for your NES is just, it just takes it right back.
And none of that, it goes back down to, and I know you guys are going to put out digital content, but the cool thing is having that cartridge, having that box, book. I mean, and that's why, the fact you're doing these packages like this, it really, to us, brings it home. There is that sense of physicalness to it. It's not, oh, hey, I'll just go online, go to the Xbox store, pick up this game, blah, blah, blah.
Buy $30 worth of DLC.
Right. Wait 10 hours for it to download.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, hey, I've got the cartridge, I plug it in, and I go. So.
Can you get your, 10 seconds of showing you the detachments that I sent via Skype? I don't know if you guys are receiving them, live.
Are you getting them right?
Yeah, I have to paste them over. We actually use, for your connection, we actually use a separate computer, so I transfer them over.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so we're going to get that pulled up right
infrared.
Here.
Yeah, they have two 486s bumped together.
Right, they're just talking back and forth right now.
So I sent you guys some of the compiled screen cap animations from the Dancing Pumpkin Man.
Yeah, I've got a Dancing Pumpkin.
Both do enjoy and practice for your Halloween festivities, and then I showed you the some of the cool Jesso Stole screen caps to give you context for the story. So what you're paying as these kind of like a little bit of a nod to all the VR stuff. So one of the visuals is, if you remember, there's metal animals in front of the grocery stores that you put 50 cents in and they just vibrate for 10 minutes.
Oh, hell yeah. Whoa,
sorry.
Whoa! Yeah, a little too excited about that.
I thought we might share something else in our love for vibrating animals.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with that one.
I've heard people the vibrating
rabbit. So we're in the future, and you have, you're on your, antique vibrating eagle, and you throw on your VR headset, and then when you're immersed in the game, you're playing as famous, dead presidents who are, part mech. You got your mech eagles, you're dropping bombs, setting traps. Think of it as Joust meets Towerfall. So we definitely work to make sure we're keeping up frame rate really high, gameplay really high, with as much game feel as possible. So it's generally meant to be a four-person couch co-op game. There is a one-player mode with a pretty, feature-rich achievement system, plenty of levels to climb through and master your eagle skills in advance of insulting your friends. And then the creep in it real is that you have a screen cap of one of the pachinko screens. You can see what it looks like. So we have this kind of ugly skull that drops the candy. Pachinko occupies you while you're able to rock out. And you can flip over and watch the Dancing Pumpkin Man rotoscope his way to your heart.
So, approximately how big is your team? I mean, you guys seem to be kind of working through a lot of projects.
I would say that not. A good visual is imagine a balloon that's super packed full of it.
Oh,
you cut out.
It pops! No!
Don't touch that.
I didn't touch anything.
Back and forth.
I didn't touch anything. Hold on, let's see if we can get it back here.
There we go. Hello? Nope.
We're sorry. We lost it. No!
We
popped the balloon. Died too young. But, if you get it, we'll obviously be posting links to this.
Right.
But even just taking, a 90-second glance at their website. Or just looking at YouTube or some of the videos, the game seemed to lose cool, man.
Okay, we actually did lose sound on his end, because we got sound on ours.
Yeah, we have sound, so he lost it on his end. So, that's the other thing. Check out the artwork on their site. I mean, they've got... Their art staff's got to be really darn good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just
even the logo.
I mean, good gameplay is cool and stuff too. But it's just pretty. I like pretty things.
Well, pretty things on an 8-bit system. That takes a whole new level of skill.
Just hits me in a soft spot.
Does it? Yeah. Show us on the doll where they touched you.
Figuratively, all over.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so we're trying to call them back right now, as we speak.
Yeah,
busily I'm busily finding.
Or his or his client can, because I think he's at work probably right now. That's why it's like 30 minutes. Oh shit! They're here early.
Yeah, I'll have to see otherwise. Like, it, so it looks like again they mainly did a lot of NES development.
Yes.
Yeah. They had a game for Genesis here, Coffee Crisis.
They've got two Genesis games out.
That was a Kickstarter.
Oh.
So once we talked to them, they find out it their hands were Kickstarter or it was only
yeah.
specific.
Yeah, because I mean, the Coffee Crisis, it's like a side-scrolling brawler. I thought it was pretty cool. I'm a sucker for the brawler, especially on Genesis. I love Beats or Streets of Rage and things like that. But it looks like it's got like a little bit, like it's got a little bit of everything. It's got decent, pretty solid gameplay. It looks like I've got
right.
just play it myself. It's got a little bit of humor. It's pretty. You know?
I know. It sounds like the studio is mainly an NES studio. I hope they do more Genesis stuff though, because
yeah,
in all honesty, the Genesis with the art they're doing already. And the graphics they're doing already on the NES, the Genesis had better graphics capabilities, so they should really be able to step up their game.
Interesting that they chose Genesis over 60.
The NES over the Genesis?
Oh, Super Nintendo. Unless, are there many?
There's homebrew for it. People make repro cards for
right.
like Mario Lost levels that people have like made and
yeah.
stuff like that.
But it certainly sounds like, and he's right, the one thing about the NES homebrew community, a lot of homebrew tools out there now that work.
There's a lot of homebrew tools, and the community is like there to support each other.
Yeah.
So again, so it really.
And he's
kinda,
back.
And he's back.
Yeah. We'll keep talking until
lying.
We hear something.
Well, we know we have.
Yeah, we can
now.
Hear like
yeah.
a lot
and
of it
he,
is like really kind of
deciding
which market wants as well. Like I mean, like.
Can you hear us now?
Maybe it's just not as like lucrative to develop for the same NES.
I have to agree. I think you.
I don't know.
I don't,
yeah,
if you develop for the NES, so let's talk about. I'm not Gold Star. Come on, the guy who sells next to us. Oh come on, why am I drawing a blank? Has the Steam Italian set up?
Oh, I'm drawing a blank too.
Wow.
I really should know.
My person thing.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, you said Ghost Star, now threw me
geez.
Off.
Jeez, no, I know, it threw me off too. That was the problem. Immediately,
Pac-Rat Games.
Pac-Rat Games, thank you.
Pac-Rat?
So, Pac-Rat Games, who does a ton of. They don't do game development, but he does a whole bunch of cartridge development. You know, you look at the amount of games he has for the NES. I mean, he's got other stuff too. He's got Odyssey, Vectrex,
blah, blah,
blah. But he's got most. At 2600 and NES. And now, that's something I'm wondering if they're going to go to those kind of. Like things like the Ghost Store. And sell through them. Sell through games like Pac-Rat Games. I mean, there are a lot of these stores that are popping up that
that's,
are strictly for...
That's actually... okay, so this is kind of like a pro and con point. Like, it's very interesting because, like, there's a lot of, like... Again, this is a company that I hadn't heard about until, like, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Right, when we...
When we contacted with them, and, like, it's cool to see their games. I, it's really hard because, like, each company kind of has their own store.
Right.
So it's, like, it's really hard sometimes to find those other, like, homebrew producers or find people who make quality games.
But that's where places like the Goat Store and Pac-Rat Games come in. They carry new games for old systems, and they've got...
Are they from, like, multiple publishers, though? Or
yeah, oh, God, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I would really if I could find like a better place. Like, yeah, they've got
a more centralized thing.
Yeah,
and again, just more stores carry it. The more I think it's better market exposure in the long run.
Yeah, there's plenty of enthusiast sites for like specific consoles
right.
and things like that.
Right, Atari Age.
But
oh,
yeah.
Oh God, you want to deep dive on anything? Go to Atari.
Yeah,
Age.
I know, but I mean, like, you really have to like dig, which kind of sometimes kind of sucks.
How about
everybody off putting to people.
Wait, I hear him.
I hear clicking.
I hear clicking.
Slap that keyboard.
Alive.
All right,
yay,
alive.
Good, yay!
Okay, so what we've been talking about, so...
You asking how big the team was?
Well, that was where we were at when we left off.
Yeah.
And then immediately a Transformer exploded above me.
It's a bad omen, man.
Yeah, that was not Sorry. Good. That is not good.
So it's about 20 like full-time recurring guys.
Wow.
In Pittsburgh, 9. Everybody else is remote. So, like Harry's one of the examples I'd given just because he was an early hire. He's in Scotland. Nathan is in Arizona. You know, Brendan's in Texas. So everyone's spread out quite a bit. But, you know, we weren't specifically just recruiting to recruit people. You know, something that's unique about what we're doing because we're doing it, like, commercially, not just as a hobby project. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We all started doing the same thing. Is that people have kind of found themselves, like, magnetized towards it as a hub. Like, oh, this is great. Maybe there's strength in numbers, and if we can all collaborate on bringing the project quality standard up, you know, shared great matter, thought partners, working to bringing the best out one another, kind of team building stuff has been super productive for us. Because instead of, you know, having a 4-year timeline for an independent dev to do all the art, the music, and everything else. You know, we can have people collaborate and push each other to make sure that we're not giving up anything on quality, but still able to move through in a reasonable timeline that could give it commercial viability.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, again, your production schedule is pretty blindingly fast. So something else we started talking about, too. So you guys have got just the one game out for the Genesis right now.
We have some really cool stuff coming for the Genesis.
All right.
I'm super hyped about because it's I don't want to throw too many things at you at once, but I grew up with the Genesis first, and I got an NES handed down to me at the same time that as an SNES from like a cousin. And, of course, I found all these new genres that I loved on the Super that weren't on the Genesis. But, I grew up with the Genesis first. So I have a little bit of, I'm definitely partial to the Genesis, and that probably always will be.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. So the thing seeing the amazing work you're already doing on the NES, the Genesis has got more capability, graphics. I imagine you guys are cranking into that.
No doubt. I have some, pretty great... pretty great art I could share with you if you want to do the file transfer again. If there's an easier way I can send you files too, I can just...
Email does work pretty well. I've been posting a few of them.
The picture as we're talking here.
So this game that we haven't announced or done anything with, but it's probably, if I was going to put a percentage on it, I'll say it's 40% complete.
Wow.
So the game is called We Got Dungeons. So We Got Dungeons is going to be our first roguelike.
Oh, nice.
No, stop!
Sorry, he said roguelike.
I know. We had to make the joke there.
Yeah. Light or like?
No, stop. Just
roguelike light?
Now you stop.
You know, we went back and forth with the whole light thing. And we decided that this game is definitely a roguelike.
We have done shows on this.
So we were in Torbu in the face. I had to go on every time.
So one more thing I was talking about, and what we lost for a bit there. So we know a lot of distributors, things like Pack Rat Games, the Goat Game Store, that actually not just sell old cartridges, but actually sell new games for classic systems. Are you guys, I've only found you on your site. Are you guys available anywhere else?
Yeah, so of course we want people to come visit us at our site, but we do have, let's see, Eastarland, maybe a dozen game stores that also have e-commerce set up, or on dragonbox.de, which is definitely international. We have maybe 100 plus independent game stores in total that carry games, but they've all, I guess it kind of looks like this. We go to a convention and we sell 4 copies at the convention and have 2,000 people ask us for free review copies and high-five us for doing it. And then have one or two stores will walk out and be like, this is so great. I'd love to carry them in our store. I think that a pretty common persona there with our independent game store people is they get into it because they love it, not because they want to raise venture capital or anything crazy, right? So a lot of times they're our most excited customers. I'm certain that at least 50% of our first wholesale orders with new wholesale clients, they're just buying the games for themselves, which is fine.
Yeah.
But we have a really cool thing with We Got Dungeons where it's 90s themed, and there's playable characters with there's a really great retired jock dad, an awesome mom, troublemaker. We have a really killer VHS monster. I'm sending you guys some early preview animations of.
Looking at the games you produce, the way you talk about it, it's cool to be able to produce something that you really care about. And the fact that you guys are churning out so much quality content.
Yeah.
Is fucking respectable. So cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers to that. Honestly, to get the stuff out to the market, you guys
cheers.
Have done. You finished already?
Yeah.
Wow.
What? What do you think I am?
Is there a specific Mega Cat game that's near and dear to your hearts out of the titles you guys have put out so far?
Yeah, so the reason we end up having such a broad scope of simultaneous projects is whenever people come to us, usually it starts with, I cannot wait to do, ABC, whatever project they heard about, and then they'll say, it would be awesome. I've always wanted to make a, et cetera, game, And then next thing you know, we end up adding a team member, adding a project, adding a thing. But I'm specifically, like, personally really excited about the games we just released for Justice Dolan, Creepy Brawlers. So I love couch co-op, and there aren't enough four-player Nintendo games. Danlog and the AVS both have, you know, native out-of-the-box four-player stuff.
Right.
So we want to make sure we're keeping those Player 3 and Player 4 ports warmed up. We don't want to keep them all dusty when they're new, you know? So we definitely have a cool title there that should keep people, like, moving. And with the gameplay being very quick and responsive, I think it'll be surprising for people who play it that it's, you know, playing on the NES. And then Creepy Brawlers, I love Punch-Out. I love Monsters. The idea of, you know, the basic concept is you're sitting in a movie theater and you're kind of smack-talking the entire time about, you know, telling the actors on screen, oh, you're going to die. Oh, why would you go there? And then you get sucked into this, like, monster world. And next thing you know, you're, you know, going 9 rounds with a really very light in the footstep alien or, like, a very aggressive wolfman. But I think the characters all have a ton of personality. They're all totally unique to, like, nothing you've ever seen before in Punch-Out. And I love the soundtrack. I'm a big fan of Halloween. I know it's like a North America thing, but I like love having all three of those boxes checked.
Oh, no, we're perfectly good with the Halloween. You should see my house, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
No, this,
we are the guy who overdoes it.
We are good with Halloween, okay? You are.
He's got, like,
completely understand
three
that.
Projectors on the front window with all the effects stuff and, like, talking pumpkins on the front porch and lights that pulse to music.
Have you ever seen the atmospheric stuff?
I love it. Yeah, I love
yeah.
It.
Their stuff is brilliant. We go great guns with their stuff. But okay, I back yeah. Stop. Sorry.
I know you love Halloween.
He said he loves Halloween.
Sent you
okay?
guys an email that has a ton of We Got Dungeon stuff. If you want to see, you'll be the first, like, exclusive people to see We Got Dungeons anything outside of the building.
I like roguelikes.
Yeah. Again, you got two things near and dear to my heart: roguelikes
and
Genesis. Oh, and 90 references too, but yeah, but I'm sorry. I'm
a 90s kid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I really like Genesis games. I think there was so much good content on that system, and new content all the better yet.
So, are there? And again, it seems like you guys have a great stride in kind of how you produce this content. When earlier on in your days, were there any kind of, like, specific struggles in the kind of producing new cartridges or, like, getting these games programmed?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, we used, a year ago we had, like, every possible struggle ever.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll give you the short version. So we actually it's short, but I can make it long because it, like, makes me want to die.
It just feels like an eternity.
So we're all, like, we know we have, like, the capabilities, and we've been talking about taking this jump off point. And every year there's an event that we put on in Pittsburgh Retro Gaming Convention, and we donate all the proceeds, so all of it, 100%, to the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh.
Oh, awesome. We will have a link to that on our site.
That's always been our kind of, like, easy way to keep in touch and do something retro gaming related. And, you know, we did it, and we were just, you know, chatting afterwards about what we could do differently, and we're in Pittsburgh, so there's potential for incredibly, like, horrible snow, and there was. So we're sitting there with the vendors that came, and one of the vendors that showed up owns a company called Black Forge Coffee House. And so imagine, like, all the trouble that a small business has, but then imagine that they're metal themed and they're in, like, a bad part of town. So that's a Black Forge Coffee House. So, you know, I like the whole scene, and I feel like I really, like, clicked with Nick, the owner. So we're talking, and he, you know, we're 15 minutes in. I said, hey, thanks for making the way down for the convention still, and we still had more than 1,000 people attend the event, so it was definitely good considering the roads were all plow-heavy closed. But, you know, Nick brings up, he's like, yeah, I love the Genesis, man, and I wish there was more Genesis games coming out. I'm like, oh, dude, we could definitely make a game as a fundraiser for you. And he's telling me how he started his whole business off of an Indiegogo campaign.
Okay.
I'm like, that's pretty amazing. Not only did he open a small business, but he's able to keep it in business, you know, with some runway for a couple years after the Indiegogo campaign.
Wow.
So I'm like, you know, this would be a cool way to cross promote, and we'll launch what we do. And, you know, so we initially created this pretty narrow scope of, like, what game we were going to make, what genre, and how it was going to look. And then once we're 2 or 3 weeks into it, you know, we got to this whole, anyone who's done freelance before knows what this feels like, is, like, managing somebody's expectations. So, like, instead of just wanting to make, like, a game, you know, the scope changed to, let's take like the best games that ever came out on the Genesis, and let's consider making one like that. I'm like, oh my god, here we go. We started putting it together, and you know, the designer that started on it was just getting his chops with like non-academic professional experience, and then that was Harry at the time, and then Andy had been doing like working in the movie industry and had been doing like art kind of as a hobby, doing lots of pixel stuff. So they were heading the art out, and then the guy who ended up working on the original dev for us, I'm going to include some other unique details about the game, I'm not going to name this person, but he ended up killing it with the dev, and then like the month before, like as the Kickstarter was up for it and the game was at 90% completion, we get this NeoGAF thread where everyone's like, wow, the art is so bad in that game, like I hate that game, the trailer's horrible. The trailer didn't have any sound effects, it was just tons of amateur mistakes. So we're like, oh, we can do way better than this now. We've recruited a team member since then. So we redid all of the art for the entire game. And the dev who was working the project was having a very slow and painful like meltdown because his neighbor was like all day long, every day, just like blasting music. Probably would have been a great like Adam Sandler Netflix movie.
All day, he
was just torturing like the dude working the project. So we're like, you know, week out from finishing the
great Adam Sandler movie.
I mean, a great for an Adam Sandler Netflix movie.
Right? I had to clarify that.
The other ones. You're telling me if you line up the other Adam Sandler Netflix movies and there's one about someone failing a Genesis game, that wouldn't be better? You know, so he's working the game, and maybe a week now out, he messaged me, and he's like, hey, man, like, he's in Finland. He's like, I can't do this right now. I need a break. Like, I can't handle my neighbor. He's ruining my sleep schedule. I'm sorry for any issues it's going to cause you, but I'm going to be gone for about a month. I'm like, oh, man, like, we definitely just set the delivery deadline for that. And I'm like, oh, people will understand on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I want to say some of them definitely did. And some of them definitely didn't read the updates, and they were just sending us hate mail, which is okay. That happens, you know? So at this point, we tried handing off this code base to like two or three other devs that we either already worked with previously or were just starting to work with. And as you can imagine, you can't just like throw an ad up and have someone who's worked on a Genesis game appear unless they're like in their late 40s minimum, right? And you know, so we go through all this like crazy, trying to get other people to work on it. And we got someone local who had some Genesis experience, but didn't have access to the custom tools that he was using in Finland, and didn't have any experience actually shipping a game. So then it became this like balancing act of like, how can we not make people upset and still find a way to like put the game out that we thought we'd be able to put out? So we shipped the game. And I think that 50 to 75% of the people that got it were like super hyped about it. And then we got our experience with our first like hate video. And we were like, oh man, like I feel like if someone knew the context of this, like, you know, we absolutely like would have given this guy like a double refund, like, you know, and given him a rain check. And that's when we decided we would never put out a game. We'd rather put out a game late forever than ever put a game out that was subpar. So what we ended up doing with that game was finishing it the way we wanted. We added some charge attacks, finished the rest of the assets we wanted, and accepted a couple $1,000s of returns, and upgraded the games because our long-term reputation and like who we wanted to be and what we wanted to bring into the retro gaming community, since we are all like active members, we love it. That is much more valuable to us than like one-off projects. So we just took the dive on that one, and everyone's been incredibly happy with the second copy. It's been consistent every week. They leave the building with lots of happy customers. We're incredibly thankful considering what we went through with it, but there was many months in between of just pulling our hair out, like just totally insane, because jumping into retro dev is already challenging, but then doing it without all these killer like custom tools that don't talk to each other is almost impossible. So yeah, that was our like growing pain experience,
wow.
And it's since then shaped everything we do, because you know,
congratulations on making through it. And again, have not killed each other yet.
Yeah,
so
that's
well,
and,
yeah, I mean, you know,
and
it's
even
like,
staying
like,
in the industry after all that crap.
Yeah, when you're in the thick of the weeds, it's really hard to imagine like what are we ever going to do if, you know, ABC doesn't happen or XYZ, and we're able to just, you know, refocus, look at the big picture, and get it done.
Right.
And then, of course,
yeah,
the person who was originally working on it came back, sent us the tools, helped us finish the rest of the stuff, and every game since then, we've created what any other game or software company should have, and it's brand style guides, you know, forcing everyone to use GitHub, tons of Slack integrations to make sure documentation is there, it's detailed, and if someone would be hit by multiple types of lightning, like slime lightning is really terrifying for me, anybody could conceivably like pick it up and keep moving forward with the project.
And yeah, props to you guys for like, again, going that extra mile to make things right. Like,
right.
That's cool.
And developing a system. So again, it's not just a bunch of people working independently. It is truly a collaborative effort.
See, that's what I was like afraid of. That's like I see some of these developments. I know Rob. This is going to be a little bit of a tangent, but I'll keep it quick. Q World. You got me into Q World like 3 years ago, and it was like it had development. They're like, yeah, we have updates, and we're gonna blah blah blah. And I bought it, and then
that went to crap.
Silence.
Right, but that's what happens when you have like a single developer or a small team that's not. Again, a larger team, lots of communication.
Funny, I just re-downloaded that.
It's still a great game.
Oh yeah, it just stopped.
Yeah.
But for them, they had to produce a physical cartridge.
Right.
And everything.
Which is a lot more work, and
like
they still did it.
He can't just send an update to your cartridge.
Yeah. Right.
With no physical.
So that brings up my question. So I'm a bit of a hardware guy. Are you guys doing your hardware in house? Are you shipping that out?
We do everything in house. The only thing that we're so. Anything that we can do, we definitely do. So we're able to get, you know, we have a killer gang programmer that we found, like, broken in Taiwan eBay. so does, like, eight at once instead of just one.
Nice.
And, you know, we have the same two or three guys that'll, when it's game-making time, sit down and pound it out.
Right.
In fact, it's definitely something that Andy's been doing for a solid 12-plus hours now. He's over there currently just...
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Which, really, once you shove that soldering iron upright, do some business in the face. You know, it's like, well, we all come together for stuff. We just got back from TwitchCon, and then we have Atlantic City GamerCon this coming weekend, since right now our marketing funnel is not where we spend money. We spend money on our team members because it's full-time.
Yeah.
So our best marketing efforts are some split between a little bit of targeted Facebook ads and then just getting into events. And we're lucky that, like, NES Classic, SNES Classic, Tech Toys re-release the Genesis, like, it's kind of happening everywhere. So a lot of times, events are excited to have us as, like, a feature, and they'll allow us to bend as a secondary kind of component to how we present. So we have lots and lots of events we go to, and every event, you know, we have some level of success that has a recurring kind of follow-through with who we are, what we do. Plus, it is... generally incredible for anyone who's making something that they're putting themselves into to see other people experiencing it for the first time.
Yeah,
so as much stress as it creates, like, getting ready for the event, traveling for the events. I think Andy's avatar on Slack right now is a picture of him, like, sleeping on top of PBM's back of a U-Haul.
Oh, hey, at least he's on top of PBM's, though. We're good with that.
Yeah, you know what? I actually have, like, the best collection of PVMs that I've ever had.
Oh, well,
so,
I got a pretty decent collection.
Travis is a PVM freak. Okay.
Yeah, I've got like six of the old 80s models. I've got a 20 M4Q. I've got the 20L5, a 25L5.
No, he's a real freak about this,
okay?
He knows all the models.
Okay, so, you know,
we have about 40 PVMs now.
See, I told you they got
me. All right, I have
a modest collection, but...
Right.
Well, now I can say that. No,
hey, I mean, you can tell my wife. I'm like, I can't... There's people with 40. Like,
but Travis, he's got 40. I'm thinking you got 20.
Yeah. Well, we never wanted...
You're like, one guy. You got 20 yourself.
And once we have them, I'm like, man, this is a business PVM too. Like, I can build a small house out of them if I can get down. The way we got them was we started putting the feelers out to other events, and then people would show up at especially non-gaming focused like indie events, like or non-gaming focused like geek culture, like Comic Cons and stuff. We'd always have some random business owner come up and say like, I can't believe you guys have these. We have these in storage. Do you want them?
Oh,
actually, just arrived an hour ago, and it's one of the few like. It has a 16x9 option.
Oh my god, those are so beautiful!
And they're all they're always like the PVMs that have like, you know, you're dealing with real PVMs whenever like there's 4 million settings and like 3 buttons to do them all. Well, you know?
Yeah,
we're reprogramming it.
I have a lot of the older ones.
He's like, no, that's just my Twitch item. I love programming PVMs.
A lot of the older models, they don't even have the buttons. You actually have to take it up and adjust the pots, which is just like, I'm not only, you know, going to spend all this time futzing and like...
I can just die.
Yeah, I could die. Yeah, I could slip. and die. So that's right. Cool.
So you were talking about the gaming things. That being said, we do a big event. Have you ever heard of Midwest Gaming Classic?
Yeah, you know, we were all set to go this year. We signed up late for it. There was no vendor spots left, but I talked to the IGDA rep that was setting up there. Since this is going to sound strange, but we did our first like HTC Vive game also.
Okay.
And we were like, this will be fun. We'll bring our Vive game. We'll bring some of our retro stuff. And then we had so many events back to back to back. Like it's about an 8 or 10 hour drive depending on what part of the city we're all corralling from. And the day we went to leave, we realized that we were like leaving on Friday, and the event already started. And even if we got there, we would have been driving for essentially one full day just to have one day at the event. I remember like everyone looking at each other like, oh man, like we really should do this still.
But, yeah,
we were 100% there this year. I already filled out the form and I got the email back that we will be in touch after the recurring vendors are.
Well, we're drinking. The answer to that then is we're drinking together. That's one of our big events every year.
Yeah,
2018 is going to be much bigger than.
Yeah,
we just there. We just
heard the venue's like super upgraded.
We moved
from a hotel with a 20,000 foot tent on the end of it to an actual convention center.
Right, we were in like a 500 square foot room the last few years.
We're getting a 1,500 square
this
foot.
This year, guys, gave us just 1,500 square feet.
Actually, if you can see the wall to the right of us, we've got a Midwest Gaming Classic. One of their original.
From the early days.
Yeah, one of the original banners.
Yeah. So we'll definitely have to.
Oh, we are still drinking together.
Get in contact after this about some coordination because we'll show you a good time.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, one of my favorite like vendors. You guys know like Windy Gaming.
Oh yeah, the super gun. Oh
yeah.
That's
actually how I got
Nintendo
into super guns too. Was Chris. So Chris is like an acquaintance of mine. And
oh.
I actually went with Chris like a couple years ago and. Instead of, I ended up having like one of those bad spots where it rains inside.
That was like, that tent was not good.
It was definitely like that was whenever I was just selling my own stuff and it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So now that we have like a team of business, all kinds of other stuff, we're definitely heavily focusing on a couple key events, and I hope that we're able to get a good vendor spot and we'll be there.
Yeah, well, again, we will definitely, if there's anything you need, contact our group. We are deeply involved in that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, well, I definitely want to have a PVM conversation with your PVM expert.
Oh, for sure. We'll have a bunch of them there, trust me.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I had an episode on my YouTube station where I, just showed the PVM. It was, like, in the background, oh, you got a PVM? I'm like, yeah, I know this guy.
I'm sort of branching out. Again, there's so many other great quality monitors. We can talk about some other episode, but it's just like, the PVMs are like the easy go-to, but there's plenty of other great monitors out there that get the job done. So.
Well, I just sent you guys a link if you're into like the PVM thing. So like, some of you really are. I sent you a link to the American Dynamics ones we have. So they're like newer generation PVMs. And we got them from a high school that was just appreciated and no longer needed that for their AV room. So we have like 5 of them. We use them for setups. And they're like the nicest PVMs.
That's awesome.
I don't know how to tech stuff. Like, they're really killer. They're beautiful, man. Like, I remember like setting them up, and my first thought was like, it's so hard to keep drawing the lines as like a team member on when I want to take one home.
Yeah, it's like, is this acceptable? I'm gonna do some homework.
Yeah, but
we were just going over like how we're laying out the house that I'm renovating with my wife, and I just kept thinking like, maybe instead of a custom like game case, I can just have all these PVMs living together.
I legitimately like daisy chained mine up like a 90s Best Buy or a Best Buy display. So like legitimately, I've got like this like the same thing running like 6 monitors on a wall, just so you can like.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right.
We actually brought some of those really small portable ones. I know we were moving on from this, but the small portable ones, I bought some of the batteries off of eBay, and I had them like strapped to us for.
Yeah,
that's
those quarter braces. Those are cool. Yeah, I mean, they were used for video production.
No, I know that. We are deep diving here, guys.
Welcome to PVM Talk with Guys Games.
So, this is James from PVM Lover Studios.
All right. So, I think, Rob, we should probably let him.
Cool, guys. I appreciate you taking the time to have me on.
Before you go, do your job.
All right. So, one more time. If people want to find you on the web, where can they find you at?
MegaCatStudios.com.
Correct, and they are listed. They've got a great Facebook page and a great Twitter presence. Make sure to check them out on both of those sites as well. We'll have links on our website to theirs.
That's cool, true. Awesome. Thanks again, guys.
Again, thank you
it's
so much.
It's been a pleasure talking with you, man.
We will see you at MGC.
Yep.
Oh, cool, definitely.
Free beer in our room.
Yeah, free beer in our room.
Pretty much all hours.
No, really.
And I'll be running like 80
hours. We do
hours
free beer in our room. Yeah.
80 hours.
All right. Rob, why don't you go ahead and take us out?
All right. Well, thank you all for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. You can, of course, check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. On Facebook, if you want to join the row, at www.facebook.com. I like that look, Tyler. /guysgamesandbeer on YouTube. www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer. And, of course, every podcast aggregator on Earth. And a couple weeks from now, we've got a big old show. We're going to be over at Game Hole Con. We're going to be live.
Can I put it in your game hole, baby?
Look, if you have not been to Game Hole, you need to go there. It's in Madison, Wisconsin. It is, trust me, it's Gen Con coming up. They are, they're in their fifth year. They every year they get bigger and bigger and better and better. This thing is an amazing show. We are going all out this year. Not only will we be broadcasting live from the show, as we always have, and getting amazing interviews, we are going to be running a
full steel battalion setup, man. We got,
oh, yes.
Yeah, we're going to be running the 10 rigs. We're going to be having them all networked together. We'll be teaching people how to play. It'll be a nice full immersive experience. I'm really looking fucking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be the Steel Battalion game to get in on. We have upped our Steel Battalion game 10 notches for this particular show. So, check us out. We will be there in 2 weeks at Game Hole. It is the 2nd through the 5th, Madison, Wisconsin, and the Alliant Energy Center. Make sure to get there.
Yep, and don't forget Free Game Friday is coming up. And, of course, as always on Twitter,
I will be giving away a game tomorrow.
At Guys Games Beer, and of course Free Game Friday goes on Facebook. Of course, we call it something else. We call it F-U Friday. But, you know, that's Facebook. We're allowed to do it.
Well, the one time you want to
censor yourself. Really? You just censored yourself?
I censored on Facebook, so fair enough.
All right, one more time. Our guest,
James from MegaCast Studios.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. Absolutely great time this evening. We will definitely be drinking and seeing you more.
Definitely. See you guys.
Cheers, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.